In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is an anniversary. It's the 22nd anniversary of the death of Sister Mary Ephraim. Sister Mary Ephraim, I don't know if you can see her. She is the one who Our Lady came to visit. And Our Lady appeared 12 different ways. And it's just an astonishing apparition. I mean, they're still investigating. It's what you see with Our Lady of America is Our Lady says to Sister Mary Ephraim, basically, this is my last resort to humanity. This is the last thing that I'm going to say. And this is, I think, the reason why she appeared, 12 different ways. It's a great, great blessing for the United States and for the world, she says. So great things are in store. Great miracles are going to happen. Amazing things are at hand, are close. So today we're going to focus on the role of the priest in the divine will. And we're on volume 23, 2:5:19-28. The promise in Eden of the future Redeemer. The solemn promise in the prayer of the Our Father of the kingdom of the divine will. And God, how God feels the joy of creation being repeated by the souls living in the divine will. So Louisa begins, my poor mind feels as though fixed in the supreme fiat. So her poor mind, she's overwhelmed. She uses the word confused, but she's overwhelmed by the majesty, by the beauty, by the love of God. And she says, I'm fixed. Her focus is the supreme fiat of God. And so she says, this is how she responds. I feel like a little girl who, since like she likes the beautiful lessons of her beloved teacher, always hangs around her, asking her 1,000 questions, to having the pleasure of hearing her teacher speak and of learning new, more beautiful lessons. And this is what we get when we're reading. We feel as if there's a joy. There's a happiness when we're reading, especially the calendar. Every day when our Lord speaks, it's as he's actually speaking to us. We begin to hear him with our heart, our mind, our soul. We begin to delight in what God is revealing to us. And this is why Jesus says to Louisa, the importance of the divine will, the book of heaven, are the knowledges in it. He says that the saints were to know, love, and serve God. The first is to know God, then to love God, and then to serve God. He says it's more than that now. It's to know God, it's to love God, and now possess God. It's a mutual possession. This is the wedding feast that he calls heaven. And as our teacher teaches us these beautiful lessons, we love to hang around listening, to hear more. We have the pleasure, just the same way, of hearing Jesus speak and of learning new, more beautiful lessons. With this great gift, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, Jesus is actually saying to us, pleading with us, let me show you, let me reveal to you what I have planned. Now, the Lord has done this all throughout the history of the church, you know, with private revelation. Let's look at Margaret Mary. He showed her his Sacred Heart. With Saint Faustina, he showed her his merciful heart. This is our God. He always wants to tell us more. He's always showing us more. And I know it's not a dogma and doctrine, but when you begin to read Louisa, when you begin to read what Jesus tells Louisa, you become more astonished of how great our God is, how magnificent our God is. So he says, she says this, and while the teacher speaks, she remains there. This is the student with her mouth opened, listening to the teacher. So many are the beautiful surprises that the teacher gives the student with her lessons. And this is the same thing with you. We are surprised. We will read something in the Book of Heaven and then reread it. And then years later, reread it again. And it's magnificent. He's constantly teaching us more and more. He's filling in all the voids that are there in our life. And he reveals to us of this, this divine insight that he gave to Louisa. And this is what's so amazing. We are really, like St. Thomas Aquinas says, heaven will be the eternal awe of God. Our mouths are going to be wide open, listening, watching, hearing, seeing God. Such am I, she says. I am the tiny little one. I hang around this divine light of the divine will. And more than a teacher, Jesus wants to draw us. He wants to give us this life and the beautiful lessons to give to my little soul. So here she knows that, yeah, the teachers are good, but Jesus as teacher, it's magnificent. And she says, because I am little, it delights in making me content, giving me surprises of divine lessons. So here the divine will is revealing itself to Louisa. She says, I'm little, I'm nothing. Yet the divine will delights in making me content. Jesus delights in making us content, giving us such divine surprises of divine lessons never thought of by me. And again, or the saints, this is the thing that's, you're going to read things that you'll go, that makes sense. That makes complete sense. God has done this for a divine reason. And he's sharing with us as we read this divine understanding. It's not a complete divine. It's little by little. It's like an artist who is painting a picture, and he draws first the picture that he wants, and then he puts in the shades, the colors, the tones. He's trying to make sure that it's becoming what he wants it to become. And that's what God does with this Book of Heaven. He's, every time you read it, there's something more beautiful. He as this artist, as this teacher, he's revealing to us a divine perspective. So she says, basically, I've never thought of this, and the saints never thought of it, because what Jesus is giving to Louisa is a new and divine way of holiness that St. John Paul II told us is coming. So while I was thinking about the kingdom of the divine will and its reigning upon earth, and that seemed as though difficult to me. See, a lot of us just go, how is this going to happen? My beloved Jesus coming out from within my interior, that's where Jesus always is. He's in the interior of Louisa, told me, my daughter, as Adam sinned, God made him the promise of the future Redeemer. And this was the hope of Israel, waiting for the Messiah. Centuries passed, but the promise did not fail, and the generations had the good of redemption. So finally, after 4,000 years, Jesus was here, and the Messiah was here. He came to redeem mankind, and his mother came to co-redeem with him. Now, as I came from heaven, Jesus said, and formed the kingdom of redemption, before departing for heaven, Jesus says, I made another promise, but it's more solemn. And it's of the kingdom of my divine will. And this was in the Our Father. So as to give it more value and to obtain it more quickly, I, Jesus, made this formal promise in the solemnity of my prayer, praying there, Our Father, to let his kingdom come. That is the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. So here, For the last 2,000 years, every Christian has been praying the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus says most didn't even know what they were praying for. He says, now that it's close, now that it's at hand, well, he said that 2,000 years ago, now that he's gotten Louisa ready for this understanding, he says, now it's going to happen quickly. So our God is such a wonderful God that he has predestined us to live at this time, to witness the coming of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I know some people say, well, that's 1,000 years from now. You know, Jesus says, when you see a storm coming, you know it's going to rain. When you see the leaves bud on a tree, you know it's spring. We have to see the sign of the times, and it's very clear where we are. Very, very clear. So Jesus says this. He says, I made the formal promise in the solemnity of my prayer, praying the Father to let his kingdom come. That is his divine will on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, I placed my very self at the head of this prayer, knowing that such was the Father's will, and that prayed by me, the Father would deny me nothing. More so, since I prayed with his very divine will, and I asked for something that was wanted by my Father himself. And listen to this. And after I had formed this prayer before my celestial Father, so he basically read it, proved it. This is what I'm going to do. And the Father said, yes, certain that the kingdom of my divine will upon earth would be granted to me, I taught it to my apostles. There's only one prayer. You think of the prayers of the saints. There's many, many prayers of the saints. Jesus taught one prayer. He says, so by praying this, my heavenly Father would grant it to me. So Jesus says, when you pray the Our Father, I'm praying it with you. I'm praying that the Father receive what he wanted for humanity, that his kingdom reign on earth in us, this dust, as it is in heaven. So he says very, very clearly, I, Jesus, taught it to my apostles that they might teach it to the whole world so that one might be the cry of everyone. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here, this prayer is being prayed for 2,000 years. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus says, it's being fulfilled. It's happening. It's happening. This is why everything seems topsy-turvy. Everything is happening because of what's happening with the evil one. The evil one knows his time is over. The evil one knows this. And panic has set in. It's a panic where, like when the demons appear, if you ever run into a demon, they are ugly, they're rotting flesh, they smell horrible, they're ice cold. Why? They're living dead. And they're screaming in horror because they know they're living dead. And when you read the lives of the saints, when a demon would appear, the saints would go, get out. You know, no, you're not going to bother me. But when we become afraid, when we become fearful, they've won. We're taking on this fear that they possess. They know they're living dead. And they're terrified. This is why, with living in the divine will, this is what Jesus teaches Louisa. Living in the divine will, I mean, we're striving to do that. It's to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's really no sin. And this is what is going to happen with those souls who want to live in the divine will. As you're striving for this perfection, this life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the demons flee. We've said this before, that the light of the divine will is the light of Jesus, the light of Mary. And little by little, this light emanates from us. The more a purity of heart, mind, and soul, the more this light is showing. And the evil one doesn't want to even get near this. And he flees. Why? He sees that this soul wants to get closer to Jesus, wants to get closer to Mary. And the demons become terrified. They know what Jesus is going to do. Remember in the Old Testament, the New Testament, when the demons saw Jesus, they said, "We know you are the Son of God. Are you going to throw us into hell?" They know they're going to go back. They know it. So everything that's happening around us, it's nothing to be afraid of. When we stand with the power of God, when we stand with the word of God, when we stand one with the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, they can't hurt us. They can beat us up, but they can't destroy us. And this is what God is showing. He's showing us this. He says that this divine will done on earth as it is in heaven is going to happen. So he says, a promise more sure and solemn I, God, could not make. So when we pray the Our Father, this is what's happening. We're echoing the prayer of Jesus. We're praying one with Jesus. Centuries are like a single point for us, the triune God. But our words are accomplished acts and facts. So as it's said, it is accomplished. So one of the great things about the divine will is Jesus teaches us that in the divine will, there's no time or space. We are trapped in time and space. That's where we are. But when we pray, you can pray for a people 1,000 years ago or 1,000 years that's going to come. And it's the same moment. It's that prime act of God, that one single act of God. This is what he's saying. And these trees are just a single point for us, but our words are accomplished. Acts are and facts are accomplished. So in the divine will, say, for example, you know, you're praying and the Lord says something to you, read something in the divine will and you go, you know, that's for example, the houses of the resurrection of the faith. Jesus says he wants this. He says he wants this. So in time, it hasn't happened yet. But in reality, in fact, it has happened. And so as the priests start living this life of the houses of the resurrection of the faith, with peace, joy, and happiness, even though it's not seen at this point, God goes, good. He says, you're understanding what I said. He says, our words, like Jesus says, this is what I want, is being accomplished in the future. But there, since there's no time, it's already here. St. Thomas Aquinas says that. He said, if the veil was lifted to see where we are, we're in the glorified body around the throne of God, praising God eternally. That's where we really are. So when we become upset or annoyed or whatever, complaining, negative, of the things that are around us, it's saying that we don't understand what God is doing. God says, Jesus says very, very clearly, he says he is going to accomplish this just by speaking it. So like the houses of the resurrection of the faith, this is going to happen because Jesus says he wants it. So it's going to happen. So what the priests have to do is we have to, If you read, I think it was Saturday, in the calendar, he says very clearly how he wants. He gives four ways of how he wants this to be accomplished. So on January 8th, I don't know the year, but he tells us how the houses of the resurrection of the faith are going to occur. How the priests, he says, are going to live this life. That's going to draw all of humanity back to Jesus, back to the church, all of humanity, not just a sliver, but everyone. This is what Jesus has planned. This is why he says he wants it. He sees what's going to happen with the priesthood. He sees how the priests are going to live, how they, like in this book here, how they have to live and how they can't live. And this is what is going to happen. So he says this. He says, my very praying to the celestial Father, let it come, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, meant that with my coming upon earth, the kingdom of my will was not yet established in the midst of creatures. Otherwise, I would have said, my Father, let our kingdom that I have already established on earth be confirmed. Let our will dominate and reign. Instead, Jesus said, I said, let it come. So what does this say to us? That we've got work to do. We've got a duty and a responsibility at this time, alive, to being alive at this time, predestined to be alive at this time, to start working with Jesus and Mary, what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa, how to live this abundant life, how to help the laity live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness, live a life of heaven on earth. So he says very clearly, Jesus said, I said, let it come. This means that it must come and that creatures must await it with that certainty. See, Christian hope is certitude, that with which they awaited the future Redeemer, because there is my divine will bound and committed in the words of the Our Father. So we know this is going to happen. We're confident it's going to happen. Jesus said it. It's going to happen. So what we do is we give to the people, I mean, the sacraments and sacramentals, we give to the people the hope, the Christian hope, the certitude that God is in charge. It might look different from different perspectives, but God is in charge. He is going to win. The kingdom is going to be established on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. So he says, this gives us great hope. This is why when we were reading right from the beginning, I can't wait to hear these blessed, beautiful lessons of our beloved teacher. I want to hang around and ask thousands of questions and have the pleasure of hearing Jesus respond. Jesus said, if you have any questions, about the divine will, it's all found here. As you read, each day that you read, he's expanded your capacity to understand more. And as you read and then reread, and as you read, somebody just said to me the other day, they've read the Divine Will 3 times, and they've read the Book of Heaven, I think, 2x, and nothing's happening. You have to understand, everything's happening. As Jesus speaks, everything is changing in us. And again, you might be anticipating something that you want or you expect. You don't do that. If you say to a painter, a master, say to him, show me, give me a masterpiece. He says, okay. And then if you look, I was expecting this. I was expecting, no, you give it to him to do. I mean, the Sistine Chapel, I mean, that masterpiece there, you know, when he got done, you know, at first they didn't like it. They didn't like what Michelangelo had done, but then he had to redo it, a few things, and it was liked. As a matter of fact, I think when you look at the judgment, the final judgment, the bishop or the cardinal or an archbishop gave him a really hard time, and he put him in the bottom part of hell, the lowest person in hell. He put this cardinal, this bishop, and I know it must have been a cardinal, because the cardinal went to the Pope and said, you know, basically tell him I don't want to be there. And the Pope basically said, well, you know, I can deal with things on earth, but I can't deal with things in eternity. But it's what going back to the artist, the Jesus is bringing about things that we've never seen before, we've never heard before. Everything in sacred scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all our dogma and doctrine, Jesus says, is going to be magnified as we read the Book of Heaven. And you will experience this. This is the fun part. So Jesus says this. He says, the future Redeemer. This meant that it must come and that creatures must await it with certainty, with which they awaited the future Redeemer, because there is my divine will bound and committed in those words of the Our Father. And when it binds itself, listen to this, whatever it promises is more than certain. That's why when you listen to Jesus talk to Louisa about what he's going to do with humanity, you go, wow, this is unbelievable. Our God is so in love with us. We are just miserable creatures, but he's so in love with us that he wants us to share in his divinity, which the priest every day at Holy Mass says, putting the drop of water into the chalice. He wants to divinize us, that not to become gods, but to share in his divinity, as St. Peter says. So this is so great. It binds itself, and whatever it promises, more than certain. More so, since everything was prepared by me, Jesus, nothing else was needed but the manifestation of my kingdom. And this I am doing. He uses God's name. I am is doing this. This is why it is so great to read and to study and to put this into practice. You're watching I am doing this. You're watching him do it. You're hearing him do it. This is the marvels of reading the divine will. And when this is this, do you think that my giving you, Louisa, so many truths about my fiat is only to give you simple news? No. It is because I, God, want everyone to know that its kingdom is near, to know its beautiful prerogatives, so that all may love, all may yearn to enter, all may want to live in a kingdom so holy, so full of divine happiness, and so full of all divine goods. It's the kingdom. It's the New Jerusalem. It's to begin to live heaven on earth. That was paradise. Heaven on earth was paradise. And everything in the universe is one with God except for mankind. So Jesus comes to earth, his mother comes to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. Jesus redeems us. He gives us this opportunity to share in his divinity. Why? Because the kingdom is coming. Sanctification is coming. And this isn't the sanctity of the saints. Jesus calls it the sanctity of sanctity. It's divine sanctity. And he wants us to share in that nature. He wants that because that's why he created us. He wants us to have, as we talk about Our Lady, God by nature, Our Lady by grace. So this abundant grace is going to be given to us so that it will look as if our nature is divine. Like the Blessed Mother, Theotokos, Mother of God, we're going to have, this is what the divine will is. It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary. And our God wants us to possess this abundant life. So he says this. He says, do you think that my giving you so many truths about my fiat is only to give you simple news? No. It is because I want everyone to know its kingdom is near. It's very near. It's, as John Paul II said about St. Paul, he says, St. Paul says, we are in the end times. He goes, well, really in the end of times, he says, the end of the end of times. He says, because that was 2000 years ago, he says, when we were in the end times. So it's the same thing here. We are nearer to the kingdom being established on earth as it is in heaven. And this chastisement that we're going through is necessary. It is necessary. Jesus said, I must purify my church. I must purify the world. That's what he's doing. And the evil one knows God's trying to save everyone. And the evil one doesn't want this to happen. He wants to pull everyone to hell when they're caught off guard. Our job is to pray in the name of everyone and everything. So at that moment of death, all these prayers that we're praying for our family, our friends, our neighbors, for all the world, will be there at that moment of death. It will, you know, it's like some people say, I don't see any good, all the prayers that I've done, all the prayers I've prayed. Well, Jesus shows us through the saints, prayer is like a cloud that's over the head of the person. And once the person says yes, all those prayers, all that grace rains down on the person, and the person is saved. See, it's, don't worry, your prayers are powerful. And when we pray, especially in the divine will, pray with certitude. Pray with what Jesus asks, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Every healing of Jesus in the New Testament, he would say, it's because of your faith that you're healed. Faith in what? It's faith in Jesus. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to so believe in him that he can accomplish what he has planned. He has planned it. And even you're going to find out, even your prayers, you go, why did I pray that? Even your prayers are God's prayers, and he's sharing them with you because he wants to answer his prayers that you pray. That's why when you pray, when you say something, it's powerful. Spoken prayer is better than silent prayer because you're proclaiming it. You're proclaiming it. That doesn't mean you stand up in church and you scream, but when you're alone, if you're alone in your house, pray out loud. Talk to Jesus. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Blessed Mother. Ask her to intercede for you. She's got the mantle. She says, anyone who's under my mantle can. He says, I'm not going to abandon you. I am a good mother, she says. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying very, very clearly, I want everyone to know that the kingdom is near, to know its beautiful prerogatives so that all may love, all may yearn to enter, all may desire to live in a kingdom that is so holy, so full of divine happiness and of all goods. That's why when you read the book of heaven, you look around at the world and you go, God's going to win. God's going to take care of this. And I trust in him. Don't lose hope. Don't have your idea of it's going to happen this way. God loves to surprise us. And he very rarely do you say, God, you're going to, I know how you're going to do this, because he's going to go, you really do, huh? Well, watch what I'm going to do. He is the Lord. He is our Savior, our Master, our King. And we give it to him. It's Peter on the water, watching Jesus walk on the water. And he says, if you're the Messiah, tell me, command me to come to you. Jesus says, come. Peter gets out of the boat. It's not his prayer. Jesus wanted him to walk on the water. Because what does he say when he starts to sink? He goes, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? That's walking on water. Jesus is in charge, and he's going to teach us some things that will astonish us if we let him. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, great things are right around the corner. So he says, do you think that my giving you, okay. So okay. He goes, all right. He says, therefore, that which seems difficult to you, Louisa, and to us is easy for the power of our fiat. It's spoken and it's done. Because it knows how to remove all difficulties and to conquer everything the way it wants and when it wants. That's our God. When we surrender to him, he says, this is what I want and this is how I'm going to get it. And you go, yes, sir. Yes, God, you're in charge. It's you salute with confidence. You say, I agree. Why? You're my everything. You're my all. You're my life. You want this? Let it be done as you say. Let it be done as you wish. The way you want it and when you want it. See, that docility, that surrender, that submission that's so hated today, I'm going to do it my way, that's so hated, the surrender to God. When God hears this, he goes, great. Wait till you see what I'm going to do. He is a loving God who has infinite love for his children. And he's asking us, would you allow me to bring about, he's not going to interfere with our free will. Would you allow me to do this for you? And when we say, whatever you want, Lord, he goes, good. That's what, remember when he said to Louisa, what do you want? Louisa says, I only want you. And he goes, I know. Well, what do you want? She goes, I only want you. And he goes, I understand that. But what do you want? Do you hear what I'm saying to you, Louisa? And she says, I only want you. And then Jesus said, brava. Finally, there's a soul that wants only what I want. See, this is why many, many times Jesus will show you things and he'll go, what about this? What would you want this? What about that? What do you want? What will make you happy? Some people say, I want this, I want that. And God goes, here, I'll give it to you, but it's not going to make you happy. But this is what you want. And he has to teach us. We have to learn the hard way most of the time. So Jesus says, beautiful homage and the great glory of all their works. But while I was doing this, I thought to myself, but what is the glory to give to my creator by bringing him all of his works? So Jesus is saying to Louisa, in the divine will, bring me my works. Okay. So everything in creation is an I love you. Everything in creation. And he says, most of humanity doesn't see any I love yous, doesn't hear any I love yous, doesn't smell in the I love yous, doesn't taste it. He says, your senses were made for God to, and St. Thomas Aquinas says that you see the love of God in creation. But Jesus says, nobody says thank you. Nobody says I love you. So he's teaching us how to pray the rounds. The rounds are giving back to God and I love you of creation. Creation speaks to us, maybe not with our hearing, but speaks to us of the love of God. Look at a flower. Look at an insect. You know, look at the mountains. Look at the clouds. God's creation speaks to us of his love. And that's what Jesus says, you know, the beautiful homage and the glory of all their works. But while I was giving God this, the rounds, but what is the glory I give to my creator by bringing him all of his works? And Jesus, moving in my interior, because that's where Jesus is, tells Louisa, my daughter, by doing so, you bring to us, triune God, the joy of our accomplished works. See, we're giving back to God what is God's. Humans can't do that. But what Jesus is showing us is what we give back to God is Jesus's I love you to the Father. That's the divine, that's the acts done in the divine will. It's Jesus's I love you back to the Father. I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you in Jesus's name, in the name of all of humanity, past, present, and future. So there's this explosion of I love yous to the throne of God, and God hears all of humanity praying with our voice. Why? That's what Jesus is doing. That's the true life of Jesus, the true prayer of Jesus, the true prayer life of Mary. He says, my daughter, by doing so, you bring to the triune God the divine joy of our accomplished work. In fact, before we created the creation, they were inside of us as though in deposit of our will, and we did not have the glory. We did not have the joy of seeing our works outside of ourselves formed and accomplished outside of us. So our works were formed when the creation was created. You see what Jesus is saying? Our were formed when the creation was created. And if one makes her round, okay, praying the rounds, in the midst of creation, looks at them and wanting to gather them all together around us, triune God, then says to us, triune God, how beautiful are your works, how perfect, how holy, their harmony, their perfect order, tell who you are and narrate your glory. Those are the words of Jesus in us. He's the one that's showing us this. And the next time you look at the clouds, the next time you look at the sunset, God's going to say, I want to show you more of what? How beautiful are your works, O Lord. How perfect, how holy, their harmony, their perfect order. Tell who you are and narrate your glory. And then Jesus says, we triune God feel the joy. We feel the glory of being repeated as if we were again extending the heavens, forming the sun and all of our works. So the creation remains always in act and as though speaking by means of the little daughter of our divine will. It's Louisa is speaking. We are speaking, one with Louisa, but it's Jesus who's praying. God hears the I love you of Jesus back to the Heavenly Father. He says very clearly, this can happen to you also. See, now he's talking to us. If you had decided in your human will to make many beautiful works, do you not enjoy them? But your joy begins when you see the works accomplished. And if someone loving you offers often brought them around you to say to you, see how beautiful are your works, you would you not feel glorious and joy and the joy of when you accomplish them being repeated. What's happening is Jesus is saying, when you're praying the rounds of creation, I will show you things that you've never seen before in the mountains and the valleys and the hills. I will show you colors. I will show you sounds. I will show you all that God has done, all that the Father has accomplished. And he says, and with me, Jesus says, we can adore the Father and he hears you in me. He hears a divine voice in you, praising him and loving him and glorifying him and worshiping him. He says, this is the joy of heaven. This is what they do in heaven. But he wants it on earth as it is in heaven. He says, such am I. So what is this? The feel glorious, the joy when he accomplished them being repeated. Such am I. The repetitions for my most beautiful surprises. As you begin to learn how to pray the rounds, as you begin to read, study, and put into practice these truths, you become happy. It's Jesus in you that's happy. He's expressing, you're experiencing the happiness of Jesus, the happiness of the Father, the happiness of the Holy Spirit. You're beginning to, again, it's not the totality of it. It's just a sliver. I mean, we remember with Francis, he wanted to hear music and the angel said, I can give you one note. He said, okay, give me one note from heaven. And he was in ecstasy for 3 days. God wants us to begin to understand how beautiful, how holy, how much he loves us, what he has accomplished for us. Most people see it in a sunset or a sunrise, but he's saying, I want you to begin to experience the I love you of all of creation. I want you to know how much Jesus says the triune God loves us. He loves us. He's going to overwhelm us in love. That's heaven. But he wants it to begin now. And the evil one wants us worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. That's not part of our life. It's to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. How do you do it? Read what Jesus is going to teach you. As Louisa said, be with the teacher. Listen to what he's going to show you. I mean, this is so amazing. How beautiful are all your works, O Lord. You know, and then he says, so am I. He said, the repetition forms my most beautiful surprises. Again, it's a divine surprise given to the Father by Jesus. It's to respond back to God, not in a human manner, but in a divine manner. That's why the priest says every day, Holy Mass, put in the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity. Share in the divinity. Learn how to pray the rounds. You'll be surprised what God's got planned. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always, that all the little children of the holy divine will become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.